And now it's my pleasure to introduce Jean, who will speak on the topic of guiding forces from the Big Book, page 27. It's all yours, Jean.
Hi, thank you, Suzanne. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Thank you so much. I'm really blessed with this opportunity, and I can't believe that I'm speaking for a UK meeting. I have a little bit of a connection. I've lived in the British Virgin Islands for many years, but I'm Gene. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm calling in from Southampton, New York. So I'm so thankful to be here. I'm a little nervous, but I'll just get right into it because this paragraph, this guiding forces I used today, but it was really opened my eyes the first time, and it still does. So I like to start where on page 27, the second paragraph, where the doctor said, "You have a mind of a chronic alcoholic. I've never seen one single case recover where the state of mind existed to the extent that it does in you." Our friend felt as though he had, as the gates of hell had closed in on him with a clang. He said that the doctor, is there exception? Yes, replied the doctor, there is exceptions. The cases such as yours have been occurring since early times. Here and there, once in a while, alcoholics have had a vital spiritual experience. To me, some occurrences are phenomena. There appear to be in nature a huge emotional displacement and rearrangements. Ideas, emotions, attitudes, which were once guiding forces of our lives, so these men are suddenly cast to one side and a complete new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. So if I read that, that ideas, emotions, and attitudes were once guiding forces of my life, I have no idea what that looks like, or even I didn't talk about this drinking. You know, I knew I was different than my fellows, but the BBA going in and having my own experience made me understand these in words that I fully understood. So I have to take it back to my last drink. My last drink was somewhere in the beginning to middle of July of 2015. I was just out of jail, and they put me in another detox for my fourth DWI. And I was going to AA meetings for about a week, and I was so miserable. So I hitched out of an AA meeting, and I went to a bar by my house, and I ordered a Heineken. And that Heineken I knew wouldn't be sufficient, and so the next drink was a vodka drink, and that drink lasted until October 16th of 2015, so a few months, and that just tells me one thing abundantly clear in my experience, and I was in a jail cell again, that I don't know when I take the drink, when that drink's going to let go of me. It could be three drinks. It could be 3 days. It could be 30 days. It could be, and I have hundreds of experiences that show me that, and that wasn't my worst one. And I had crossed a line to something that I thought morally I wouldn't do, to get into jail at this point. And that night in the jail cell, you know, as all nights in jail cells, I sat there in reflection, and you know, I knew I was going to go away for a while, but that wasn't it. It was that I knew when I got out, I would drink, and the next morning, they let me out on bail, and I went right to a bar. There was a rugby game playing, so the New York bar is open early in the morning. So I went to the bar, and this experience also showed me that my mind will always, and this happened to me time and time again, whenever I was separated from alcohol, I always went back to drink either of those. One day, 3 days, 28 days, 57 days, I wasn't separated that much, but I always went back. So in the morning, that weekend. I drank that weekend on the morning of October 19th. I went voluntarily into a rehab, and I say God separated me from alcohol on the morning of October 19th, because my experience showed time and time again that, you know, I always went back to the drink, and that. So fast forward, I'm out of rehab, I'm going to AA, and I don't understand these guiding forces in my life are restless, irritable, and discontented. And I am sitting across from a child protection services. My family was taken away, it was given. You know, my son, my newborn son was 2 months old. My wife, I was in danger to them and myself. So a child protective service officer sat across from me, and she said to me exactly what the doctor said. She looked at my rap sheet, all my instances, and she said, I've never seen a case as bad. I've seen cases as bad as you, and your success rate is zero. You'll probably never get a your child back. And I was filled with anger because I was the victim. I was filled with anger. My guided forces were so much pain, so much self-hatred, so much of all the bedevilments, full of fear. You know, not useful. But at that moment, by the grace of God, I kept going through the process of whatever process. It wasn't the BBA, but I was in AA, and I was guided through the steps a different way. And you know, fast forward a year later, I did finish that process, and I lost another child because I was in the process before I started drinking. And God led me to the Big Book Awakenings, and I started this process. And you know, my life, I think I'm good because, you know, the obsession had left, and that's a miracle for a guy like me. The day the obsession left, that was a miracle in my life. And I'm going through this thing, my wife was allowed back in the house with my son. Think good things are happening, but I'm full of anger. I'm full of, you know, everything is just the weight of the world is on top of me. So I'm separating from my wife, and my guide at the time when I read this, you know, he took me to page 11, the bottom, and he said, when Eddie is talking to Billy, so I saw that my friend was in a much more inwardly and reorganized it. He was on a different footing. His roots grasped a new soil. And he said, where are your roots? And my roots, even sober, a year and a couple of months, were rooted in selfishness and self-centeredness. And I was still in the restless, irritable, and discontented, you know. So they were in the, but this was a huge awakening for me because I found out that this malady of my will always go back to Gene. So how can I line myself up with God's will if that's part of my brokenness? That Gene's will always, and that all this misery, I make decisions based on self that will always put me in a position to be hurt. My will cannot get me out of any of these problems. That my will cannot change my will. So I have to get to this power. I have to get to this power. And so I finish, you know, God takes me through the work, and God, I'm in. I'm doing the disciplines of 10, 11, and 12 as described, as laid out in the Big Book Awakening. And I moved. God's putting me to work, and I moved back to the Caribbean in 2017. They had the very bad hurricanes down there, and I moved to give back and go back down to the Caribbean. The state has freed me. I'm allowed to go. And I'm on fire. I'm making amends. I'm clearing up. I'm volunteering, giving instead of taking. And I feel great. But you see, the one thing I found with the BVA was, it was not the BVA, but everybody was talking about God consciousness, guiding forces in their life. Is God today. I got in the delusion once I entered the circle and triangle of the fourth dimension of existence that there would be no pain, no hurt, you know, I would be above it all and living. And for a little while, that's how I was. I was in a flow, and I felt it in and through me. And a series of circumstances happened, and I was taken back to New York, back in the New York Supreme Court, not for me, but for my wife. And I was granted full custody of my son that they said I would never be taken away. But it wasn't a good feeling because she had done some things, and all of a sudden I felt separated. I was full of fear. I had a 2-year-old son, full custody, in a body cast. He had a broken hip, and I was full of fear again. I felt separated. So I asked my guide at that time, because I went back through. I felt compelled to go back through it, and I asked my guide at that time, can you be separated and connected at the same time? And she said no. And you know what? Out of all of this pain, all of this hurt, there was a knowingness inside that was going to be okay. And at that moment, you know, these my thinking and my feelings, my spiritual condition didn't separate how I felt. So I could feel all this, but I was guided to take people through. And that summer of 2018, I had the best summer and the worst summer of my life. I've had so many experiences with my son, with others that were so beautiful, so warm, but I felt the worst. Not praying could get me out of it, not talking to my sponsor could get me out of this pain or fear, not meditating, doing the steps, but there was no reason why, with all my experiences, that I should not be in the bar stool at a block and a half from my house, who's guiding force in my life, from forming this relationship that's greater than me, was so big and powerful. He put something between me and a drink, and that's my situation as it is today. Is that I look at these ideas, emotions, and attitudes that I once believed were guiding forces in my life were suddenly cast to one side. And, you know, like another one of my guides, he said, cast is thrown. And that's my experience with it today. And it doesn't mean that I don't use this as indicator as for the bedevilments, you know. Am I having trouble in personal relationships? Am I full of fear? Am I happy? Am I afraid of misery and depression? Am I in self-pity? You know, and that's my roots, like Evie, and people can see it differently than me, like my coworkers, people I help that some are set across from me and say, and at times I didn't handle it with grace, and I did create harms, but not huge harms, you know, compared to the old me. Like they could see in my eyes that I was different. I was changed. And you know, today, and even in this situation that we're all in, and stuff, there's moments of darkness for me. I live alone. I have a 4-year-old. You know, there's moments of fear, financial fear, this and that. But the guiding force, the most important thing in my life today, is this relationship with a power greater than me that carries me through, and that it's underneath it all, that it's all going to be okay. Thank you guys for letting me.
Thank you very much. It's a wonderful, wonderful share. Okay, so as a reminder, we only record our speaker and